You're listening to Marketing News Canada, Canada's number one show featuring the brightest minds in marketing, PR, and digital advertising.
Welcome to another episode of Marketing News Canada. I am so thrilled to introduce you to a person who is working in journalism. And I think just an important note here, journalism in Canada is more important than ever. And the importance of reporters and editors and those that are bringing us great Canadian content should continue to be supported, invested in, and nurtured. So, Catherine, thank you for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be chatting with you.
So, the role you play now at Flair Magazine is really exciting. And I know there's a lot of folks that are listening who, A, either want to become you and work in journalism, or B, want to pitch you because they want you to write about their clients and or their brand. What do we start with how you got to the place where you are today? What was kind of that journey, kind of your origin story as a superhero?
Yeah. Oh, well, I love that description of being a superhero. It's the first time I've ever had it. But so for me, I guess I really got started in journalism in my last year of my undergrad. So I went to Queen's University here in Ontario in Kingston. And I loved writing when I was growing up. I started writing my first novel when I was in grade 6, that went nowhere. And then when I was in grade 7, I did a presentation for school on what I wanted to be when I was older, and I chose journalism. At the time, I thought I would be more of an Anderson Cooper style journalist. So I did my presentation on child sex trafficking, which is a big topic for a 13-year-old to be presenting to fellow 13-year-olds. I think it just shows that kind of from the onset, I was really invested in journalism and I loved it. It combines everything that I love, which is writing and then getting to know people. So I kind of, went in and out of it. In high school, I was on my high school newspaper, but I didn't pick it up till my last year at Queen's. And I was the editor-in-chief of Muse Magazine there, which is an arts and culture magazine, which is really cool. And I had actually applied for the digital editor position. I had never been a part of the magazine. And then they asked me to interview for the editor-in-chief position, which was really nice. And I got that. And then that really was it for me because that was putting out two physical magazines that school year. And so I was able to be a part of the process of, choosing stories, taking pitches, guiding and editing those pitches, and then, laying everything out in InDesign and then actually seeing it through to the final product, which is amazing.
That's incredible.
So that was it for me. I don't have kids yet, but I feel like that was a similar feeling perhaps to being like a proud parent of holding that final magazine. So for me, that's kind of what really got me going into journalism. And because of that, I felt that it would be perfect for me to apply for a master's of journalism. When I left school, so I'd studied English literature and I didn't really know what I was going to do after. And so after kind of working with Muse, this seemed like a good fit. So I applied. And then that kind of started it for me.
And then you did a stint at CBC. Correct?
Very short stint. Helped. So that was while I was actually in school. So I went to, I did a master's of journalism at Ryerson. And while there, one of the great things, if anybody is interested in pursuing journalism in school, one of the great things about studying it at somewhere like Ryerson is the professors or the instructors are actually working journalists. So you can't beat it. And I think I went into the program saying, this will be good. I'll make some connections. But honestly, I've made all of my connections pretty much through those instructors. So that's how I became involved with CBC. So I worked on a documentary with an instructor of mine, Rob Osborne, about a diver, a Canadian diver who passed away on a dive. And he was doing an investigation because it was suspicious. I did that. And that was a really cool experience because I had never done anything really involving a documentary. And that was me going through the footage he pretty much sent me and shot by shot, screen by screen, just writing down what was happening and kind of knowing it for the back end. So it was kind of tedious work, but it was invaluable work because I had never done that up to that point, and I learned so much from it. So I had that experience. Also, while I was at Ryerson, I had an internship, and then that's how I got started with Flair, where I am now. So part of the program, you have to do a summer internship. And I knew by that point that I wanted to go into lifestyle journalism of some sort. I mean, hard news is great. Writing for the Toronto Star and all those places is great. Just wasn't necessarily for me. So I applied to Flair, and then that's how I got in with them, was through this internship.
That's amazing. And those that maybe have not picked up a Flair recently, what is Flair about? How would you sum up Flair in a nutshell?
Yeah, so Flair is technically a women's media brand, but you know, it's for kind of everyone. But we're a millennial and Gen Z focused digital publication that focuses on, you know, health, lifestyle, politics, culture, kind of everything that young people would and could be interested in. And we're kind of dedicated to pushing conversations forward and also putting a really big spotlight, I think, on stories that don't necessarily always are explored by mainstream media. Or, you know, we do a lot around minority communities and second gen Canadians. So different stories like that, which is really interesting.
It's amazing. So the second part of the question, if I'm a brand or an agency that wants to like pitch you and get your attention, what's been working for you these days and what's your advice?
Yeah, that's a great question. Because my inbox, you would probably, being in marketing, be horrified to see how many emails I have to respond to. But for me, the things that really resonate are pitches or emails where it's so clear that the PR has done their research. And I mean, I know PR people are very busy as well, so that can be tough. But I just mean more so like doing their research or having a handle on Flair itself. Sometimes we'll get pitches where it's just so clear that this is not something that we would cover. For instance, we get a I recently received a lot of pitches around dog content, which is great. I love dogs personally, but we don't tend to, unless we're reporting on Justin Bieber's dog, you know, for some reason, we're not going to really be doing anything around dog content. So pitches like that, I'm kind of like, I feel bad that you've taken the time to craft this pitch when it's not going to land for us. So I would say, things where it's clear they've done their research, so they know the type of content that we would normally be publishing. Also research as in, they know that it's not something that we've just published. I think. And I mean, that's a great advice for anybody in journalism when you're, say, applying for a job or you're just pitching in general, I think, is obviously do your research to just make sure that you're not pitching something that's just been published or so I think that the same applies for PR as well. So I'd say research is the most important.
Have you ever looked up your profile on like Cision or Meltwater or Muckrack recently?
I've looked at Muckrack. Yeah. I actually have it linked on my website. So
is Muckrack accurate about what they say about you?
Pretty accurate. There's nothing. I don't think there's anything nefarious, or all the articles seem to be. There's one article that I've like tried to contact them about because it's actually a medical article. But it's not myself, Catherine Singh. It's another Catherine Singh who's obviously in the medical field. So, but I mean, I'll take semi credit for it. I'm sure she's a very intelligent and accomplished woman. So love for my name to be associated with hers, but it's actually been surprisingly accurate. And it's kind of funny. I just didn't realize how quickly it updates and how quickly it pulls content as you publish it. Cause I actually checked it recently. And I had just published an article literally 2 hours before, and it was already up there. So it's good before it's actually.
So as someone who's kind of, you're in the position of editor, you know, you're overseeing this publication. Where do you go to read? Like, what are the places that you go to consume, get inspiration? You know, where are the places that you, you know, kind of, maybe even to zone out and kind of rest? Where do you consume? Is it like TikTok? Is it, you know, Daily Hive? What's your kind of go-to places?
Yeah, a lot of TikTok, especially I'd say this year in 2020. I actually recently took a break from TikTok only because I Yeah, I'm sure you're probably doing the same thing, like just sitting.
Yeah, I am. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, it is a good way to distract your brain.
Yeah.
But the cool thing is, I mean, this is actually kind of a blessing and a curse because I think with journalism, I'm sure it's the same with PR as well. It's really difficult to turn your mind off,
Yes.
like off of business mode. So even when you're on TikTok, we cover TikTok at Flare.
Yeah,
So
of
we put
course.
profiles of TikTok, Canadian TikTok stars and stuff. So you're still
Yeah.
scrolling to turn your mind off, but then you can't help sometimes but just be like, this would be great to cover. So
Yeah. Yeah.
TikTok is a good one for personal reading, just within the women's media lifestyle area. I love Refinery 29 is another great
Yeah.
outlet. The Cut is really funny, which is
Yeah.
associated with New York Mag, because they just are hilarious. And I feel like they're plucking a lot of their headlines, just feel like they're thoughts that are plucked from your brain. So
Yes.
love that. Yeah, and other than that, I mean, I do try and keep up obviously with the news. So I'll read like New York Times, Toronto Star, things like that. And then for personal reading, I'm part of a book club. So that has helped me a lot, especially this year.
Cool.
It's just to kind of go with whatever book is chosen that month. And I mean, even if
Yeah.
it's for 10 minutes at the end of the night,
Yeah.
just unplugging. I mean, it's not really unplugging because I'm reading it on my iPad, but it's unplugging
Yeah.
a bit from the news stream. That's
Yeah.
also been really helpful.
What are you reading now for your club?
We just finished the name is going to escape me, but actually, I can pull it up. Sorry. It's
Yeah, no, it's great.
The Brief Life of Nina Lee, I think her name is.
Oh, cool. That's awesome.
Yeah, it was really good, but we've read some really interesting ones lately. Well, I'll pull up my books right now so that you can get
Do
the
you use
whole
that?
history.
What's the app? My wife hasn't got me on it. It's like the Goodread and or Goodreads, and it tells you about other books that
Yeah.
you could consider.
Yeah, the Goodreads is so good because it's like actually people that who are actually read the books and they're giving their honest opinion. So yes,
Yeah.
it's called The Last Story of Nina Lee by Nancy
Nice.
Yoon Kim. And then I'm also
Very cool.
just started Save Me the Plums,
Yeah.
which is a gourmet memoir. So it's by a woman who was the editor-in-chief of Gourmet magazine in the States for a while.
Very cool.
So yeah, definitely.
So for you personally, are you an Apple News subscriber or a Google News kind of subscriber on those two places? Do you go there for your consumption ever?
I do have Apple News, and I get the notifications as well to all of
Yeah.
my devices. So,
Yeah.
that's really helpful. But I actually, I'd say I honestly get a lot of my news from Twitter.
Yeah.
Not to say that I just scan the headlines and, I'm like, okay, that's it for my news.
Yeah.
I just, when publications like the New York Times, things like that will post there, that's kind of where I get my news, especially with related to Flare. We do a lot of trending reports
Yeah.
and trending things. So that's where I get
Yeah.
a lot of that news, but Apple News is predominantly where I get my notifications and just some kind of summaries of the news.
Yeah. So as a person in the editor position, if you're walking down the street, what are you hoping when you introduce yourself as you work at Flare, or when people talk about Flare, what do you want them to say about it that people go there for?
I'd love for them to say that they go there for informative and helpful news, or
Yeah.
maybe not even news, but just content. And I mean, the goal of women's media, in my opinion, is to equip not just women, but equip young people with
Yeah.
all the tools that they need to make smart decisions in their lives or the best decisions for them. And I think that that's our goal at Flare. So when people say, like, I read so and so article and it helped me with this, or I loved the coverage of this, or I just find when I talk about Flare, introduce myself, people will say, oh, I just love what you guys are doing there. Which to me, I think that's the best compliment you can get. And especially recently, we've been doing a lot of explainers content,
Yeah,
which has
nice.
been important. So it's, taking big topic issues, like for instance, the ongoing farmer strike in India right now, right?
Yeah.
It's quite intense. And I don't know about you, but I knew nothing about it.
Yeah.
So I worked on an explainer for that. And so I spoke with people, obviously experts who are more engaged with this, just to kind of break down this, that's something that can be quite difficult for people to access or find a way into.
Yeah.
And we will break that down in just kind of a question format. So it's a little bit more accessible. Awesome. And
it's almost like explain it to me like I'm five, right?
Exactly.
The whole Reddit thread.
I always ask at the top of those interviews, you know, in layman's terms, how would you how would you describe what's going on to a friend? Or because that's the thing, I think people, myself included, just get so lost in the terminology and everything, you know, that goes on in a lot of political news. So I found that's been really rewarding, and we've had a lot of positive responses where it is, you know, when you introduce yourself or people will reach out on Twitter and say, I didn't know this about the Nova Scotia fisheries crisis. And so that was another big one.
That was huge. Yeah. And being Indigenous, I was following it quite closely of just kind of, you know, that balance of like, what is business and what is racism, right? And the difference between it. Yeah.
I know it was so complex, and I just think as a whole, I'm sure you're aware, it's just so many Canadians don't know anything, unfortunately, about Indigenous Canadians, even though they should. So people just don't understand why it was such an issue, what was being done to them. So I'm happy that I got that so much coverage, and hopefully the coverage continues.
It's amazing. So you mentioned Twitter. Do you like to be reached out to on Twitter, pitched on Twitter, or do you would say, man, save the pitches for the email?
I would say save the pitches for the email. But I definitely am a big fan of people reaching out on Twitter to get my email address or something like that. Because I don't believe it's currently in my Twitter bio. I had it there for a time, and then I removed it actually, just because I was getting some like not so nice emails. So I have removed it. But so I'm totally open to people DMing on Twitter, even Instagram. I have an open Instagram profile, and I've received people pitching, but just asking for my email there. And that's totally cool.
Cool. So here's a question. I have two daughters, one of whom is 5 years old, one of whom is 6 years old. When they are 15 and 16, 10 years from now, what are you hoping Flair has done and kind of your role as an editor of an influential media publication in Canada? What has it done for these young 15 and 16-year-old girls?
Well, yeah, I hope that by the time they're that age or when they're coming into their teen years, I just hope that they feel like it's a resource that they can turn to and get the information for everything that they want, whether that's to find out what kind of winter coat they should purchase, what's the chicest winter coat, or whether that's to find out more about, you know, something political or in our political system. And I also just hope that by the time they're that age and before as well, that like they won't be not embarrassed, but I still think that there's still so much stigma around women's media, and there's still so much stigma around women liking what we like. And I mean, it's everything everyone likes. Like, men love fashion as well. Men love knowing more about their health, right? But there's not a stigma with that, or it's not seen as kind of fluff reporting or fluff reading. So I just hope that by the time they're that age as well, they'll just be able to access this content without feeling weird about it or without there being this stigma.
Yeah. Having grown up in Canada and watching Kids in the Hall growing up, I recently got onto Baroness Von Sketch, which is an incredible sketch comedy put out on CBC Gem, the app, which again gives sketch comedy, and they talk about issues in the news and real issues, but through sketch comedy, which I found fascinating, right? And kind of, and covering all the stigmas around women's issues.
Yeah. Oh, that I've actually not watched Baroness Von Sketch, which I should. So that's like a good endorsement for it. That sounds really
good. No, they're awesome. So in the work that you're doing and you're publishing, when someone pitches you something and it's clearly maybe not news or it's clearly not a fit, but it's, do you ever say, oh, you should talk to the ads people and put an ad in, or you should get an ad, you know, work on an advertorial? And then does that come back to you, or what's kind of the divide between editorial and advertising for you these days?
Yeah, for me personally, there's not too much that I do on the advertorial side. I definitely have been in those positions before where people will pitch and it may not be a fit. But then again, like you're saying, it could be a fit. Maybe it's not a fit for us on the editorial side, but it also could be a fit for a sponsored content post or something like that. But to be honest, like that doesn't come through me as often. It's typically through my editor in chief.
Church and state is separate.
Yeah, exactly. So she handles most of that. But I would say, like, if people are nervous about pitching and they're not sure if it'll land, you know, editorially, I would say it's fine to continue pitching, because I think that, especially because media companies are so much smaller these days, it's such a small divide between the person who's receiving your email and then them bumping it up to someone who can actually do something with it. So, and I think a lot of, especially in publishing, lot of magazines are wanting sponsored content, right? Like everybody needs support. So exactly. So, you know, I think people, if it's a good pitch and if it's a fit in some way or can benefit the publication in some way, then, you know, they're gonna jump on it. So
that's awesome. And what about for you, like as far as the family of companies, is Flair have like a cousin publication, an uncle publication? Are you connected to a bunch of different kind of publications in that world? Yeah. Tell me about that.
We are. So we're under some SJC, which is St. Joseph's Communications, is our kind of parent company. And then below that, there's a lot of ton of Canadian publications that I'm sure a lot of people will recognize. So there's Maclean's, there's Toronto Life, there's CAA Even Magazine. Our sister publication is Chatelaine, Today's Parent. Yeah. So, which is really cool. That's a neat, it's really cool to have that closeness with those publications, especially such influential publications like Chatelaine and Maclean's, because there is the ability to share content, which is really great. So something that perhaps Maclean's has commissioned from a pitch or a writer, we can actually pick up on our site as well, and vice versa. So it's kind of cool that way, because you get to pull in content and bring new content to your readers. And the same, you can kind of spread your own content to different readers as well.
That's really cool. And syndicate it across the
different readers. Yes, kind of syndicate it. So
and tell me about this, your hope and your kind of dreams for, you know, journalism in Canada, right? Mm-hmm. I think we've all seen it, right? Newsrooms that are shrinking, reporters that are without work, but like, kind of what's your hope? Give us some sort of like, maybe what are you seeing for I don't know, your industry, and maybe speak some hope for 2021 in the future?
I mean, I think that's what we all need is hope. We're all looking for some sort of silver lining, but I think with journalism, like you said, it's easy to feel discouraged because it is shrinking newsrooms. Smaller budgets, things like that. But I think what I've been trying to really think about and take, not solace might be a strong word, but just give me hope is, I think that it's a really interesting time in journalism, because a lot of people, great people, are being pushed out of traditional media. But I think that these people are coming back in with new ideas and new ways to bring media and bring information to people. I'm thinking specifically in terms of women's media and lifestyle. There's a lot happening around newsletters, which is really cool. And newsletters is a way to get out information. So for women's media, there's one called Friday Things, which is actually run by an old editor of mine at Flair, kind of picks a big trending pop culture topic for the week. It really breaks it down in a really concise and really analytical way about, you know, why this is an issue. So a few weeks ago, it was on Scott Disick, who, if you're not a Kardashian fan, but he is apparently dating, he's 36, 37. He's dating a 19-year-old, which people have their thoughts. The issue she has with it is that, this is not the first time he's dated a woman that's a younger age. So he's kind of breaking down, you know, why it's important to monitor, or how we should kind of think about this and the way we should be talking about this relationship and the power dynamic. So, which is so cool. And I don't think it's something that you would think when you first see him, you know, posing on Instagram with his 19-year-old girlfriend. So that's really great. And then in sports, The Gist is another Canadian newsletter run by three women. And it started here in Toronto, and it's expanded now. They're expanded to the US as well, and that's pretty much what it sounds like. It gives you the gist of sports, trending sports stuff, enough that, you know, when we were back in offices, it would be to get you by it. The cooler, like cooler talk. And that's really great. And that's introduced a lot of people who maybe think sports are cool and want to get involved with it, but don't feel like they have the lingo or the knowledge to really dive right in. That kind of gives them an entryway. So there's just a few really cool ways that people are kind of reimagining the space. And I think people always need news. People always need this content with lifestyle content, you know, especially I think during the pandemic, it's really shown that people want not just news, but they want stuff to enjoy and that they'll like reading to take their mind off things. So I think it's getting smaller now, but I think it'll come back and it may look different than it has previously, but it'll be there in some form.
Oh, Catherine, that is very hopeful and very encouraging. And thank you for that. And thank you so much. And I think, yeah, with the importance of, I think with issues happening now more than ever, journalists' role and the truth telling is it's crucial for our country.
Catherine,
last question, apps that you can't live without. What, give us kind of a kind of eye into your phone. What are you going, what are your go-to apps these days?
Oh gosh, it would be horrifying. My screen time has gone up so much. I'm not sure if you're the same, but Instagram, of course, always. Instagram, Twitter is always on my phone. I've been doing a lot of trying to run a lot while we've been, you know, this year in quarantine. So I have the Nike Run app on there. I'd say those are probably honestly the three, and my voice notes. I mean, it's not really an app, but it's a phone app that I use for all my interviews and stuff. So those are probably some of my most loved apps right now.
Yeah. And I know you can't probably name, like, if someone asked me who's your favorite kid, I couldn't say it. But if you had your favorite article that you produce, what's it, and someone who wants to get to know you and your style of writing and your one of your favorite pieces you put together, what would it be? Where would you point them?
Oh, that's a tough one. You're right. It is like choosing a child. But I think I would say, actually, it's a more recent article, and it's one I did about a month or so ago. And it's just an interview with Nicole Kidman about her new show, The Undoing. And I mean, it's, for me, I think it's actually just, I would be like, read this because it's more symbolic. It was one of the first really big celebrity interviews I did. And so I loved it because of that. But then I also loved it because, you know, there were questions about obviously the show and things like working with Hugh Grant and filming in New York. But then we also asked a question about the fact that the show is entirely about a very privileged Upper East Side white family, and kind of asked, you know, there's been so many calls for diversity and a need for diversity on TV. Like, what can people take, and why do we really need another show about a privileged white family that's having some issues, right? And so she had a great answer, I think, for that type of question. She didn't softball it, which is always nice. But I just think that for me, I love that article just because it melds everything that I really love, which is celebrity, a little bit about diversity, and putting that in there as well, and representation. And then it's also kind of just a fun read.
Awesome. Catherine, thank you so much for sharing with our listeners, viewers. It's meant a lot. Thank you for coming on the Marketing News Canada show.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I really love chatting with you.
Yeah. So we're going to find you on Twitter, find you in Flare online, and continue to see good Canadian journalism that's going to help people all across the world, really, not just Canada.
Thank you. Yeah, that's the hope. So
awesome. All right. Thanks, everyone, for joining us this week on Marketing News Canada, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to Marketing News Canada. For more episodes and other great stories from Canadian marketers, visit marketingnewscanada.com. All episodes are recorded at the Jelly Marketing Studio, thanks to our producer, Chris Penner, and editor, Travis Jeffers.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.